Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
And usually I am always passionate and fiery, but how can we all not be exhausted by the week of the Minnesota Wild, what they have done to us, as we welcome you in here to the Strom Sports Show, episode 155 on the great TalkNorth.com on this Friday, the 16th day of July. Everyone just take a deep breath. What a week it has been. Shout out to Michael Russo, a host on the network, a writer for The Athletic who covers the Minnesota Wild. He has done just a fantastic job of covering it all, and it has been just one hell of a week that has been filled with drama, some stunning news coming out of Minnesota as far as the Wild buying out Parisi and Suter go. That is where we're going to start today. That's where we're probably going to finish today. We have Jeremy Rutherford from the St. Louis Blues. He is a beat writer for the Athletic St. Louis and the Athletic NHL. He will join us, and I just wanted to get sort of an outside perspective because we have covered it. Michael Russo has covered it on all ends of the spectrum. I just kind of wanted to get an outside perspective. So I wanted to have Jeremy on, and he'll join us in just a few minutes here. We'll get his thoughts on this whole ordeal that went down. And if you haven't heard, I guess I'll just say it. Ryan Suter and Zach Parise have officially been bought out, the team announced on Tuesday. Parise and Suter, both 36 years old, signed matching 13-year, $98 million contracts on July 4th, 2012. Their contracts were front-loaded, so that is the one okay part about this. So the Wild will play each only $6.7 million total to each player over the next 8 years. However, the team will be charged with $2.3 million, $6.3 million, $7.3 million, and $7.3 million cap hits for each player the next 4 years. So just double that, whatever I just said, because it's obviously two players. Okay, I'm going to try and keep this as organized and neat and tidy as possible because there are so many layers to this Parise and Suter story. You've probably heard it all, but I wanted to just kind of give you three things that personally, I wanted to get out here on the podcast, and one of them does have to do with just having some positive memories because it's so easy right now to forget about what or how much these two guys changed the Wild's landscape and the franchise and the feel. But I first wanted to start with Bill Guerin and some of the quotes that stood out to me. Give credit to Bill Guerin. He made this move and didn't shy away from it. He went on KFan with Dan Barrero. He went on Paul Allen's show the following day. He had a press conference. He has not shied away from these moves, and that's part of the reason why I really trust and I think Bill Guerin is as authentic as they come. Here are some of the quotes that I gathered that I really liked. The first one is, quote, "We have to keep moving forward." Another one was, quote, "I can't make everybody happy," and quote, "This is a new emerging foundation of players." So those three things. Now, maybe for some people that's just cliche. That's just sort of what these GMs are going to say every time. But I thought that they meant three things that meant three entirely different meanings through each quote. So the first one, we have to keep moving on. Yes, we have to keep moving on. And right now, the way that this team is being constructed, Parise and Suter are kind of the odd men out of when you look at their contracts, when you look at the style of play, when you look at the culture of this team. These are not easy moves to make, as Guerin said countless times. This isn't something that you want to do. This isn't something that you want to have to make with these two guys that have meant so much to this franchise for 9 years. The second one is it can't make everybody happy. And that is such a true statement, especially for winning teams. There was a guy that once said, "I don't have the secret to winning, but I have the secret to losing." And you have to make sure that you have everyone in that locker room is in on the culture. You have to make sure that everyone is on the same page and playing time and ice time and roles and responsibilities. You can't make everybody happy in a locker room. And I guess Guerin was kind of alluding to he couldn't make Parise and Suter happy, or he couldn't make sure that they were okay at the end of the day. He needed to make a decision. And then this is a new emerging foundation of players because it is. This is no longer a team that is built around Parise and Suter. And a couple of years ago with Zucker and Granlund and those types of pieces around those two players, There's a new emerging foundation of players with Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala and Jordan Greenway and Matt Dumba. And, you know, there's certain guys now that are starting to emerge. And I think that the confidence in Guerin to make this decision and say, hey, we believe in what we got here. We're going to get better. And to be quite honest and to be quite blunt here, he knew that eventually he's going to have to pay these guys. And, you know, you're going to take the cap hit regardless. You might as well get it over with now and give these guys a chance to go somewhere that they can win at. If you just trade them to a LA Kings or what, some team that's not in contention, you know, you don't want to do that at this time in their career. And we know how the conversations went. Michael Russo talked about it. And for Zach Parise, the conversation went really smooth. He understood it. He expected it. He can move forward. That's what he wanted. But for Ryan Suter, when he called him, Suter ended up hanging up on him. And that was something that Paul Allen actually asked Bill Guerin, and Bill Guerin said that's not important, which translation, yes, he did hang up on him, and it was not an easy conversation to have. But the bottom line is those are the three quotes that stood out to me, and the biggest one is this is a new emerging foundation of players, and Bill Guerin finally felt, and I think he finally feels like today, that he has the official stamp on this team. The amount of guys that he's had to trade away and move on, and some of these moves have actually worked out. I mean, let's be honest here, the Fiala move, and he wasn't even the one that ended up making that move. It was Fenton who ended up making that move for Granlund for Fiala. But some of the moves, you know, trading Dubnyk and trading Staal and Zucker, like Guerin has had to make tough decisions, and ultimately, right now at least, it has worked out. So those are the three quotes that I really like. The second and the biggest question I think everyone had going into this or after this happened was, why Suter, right? Like Parise, you get. Parise scored 7 goals and 11 assists in 45 games last season. But for Ryan Suter, who scored 3 goals and 16 assists last year in 56 games, he played 22 minutes a night, his lowest average ice time with the Wild. Still 20-plus minutes at this point in his career, still really solid. Why Parise and why Suter combined? They come in together, why do they leave together? And I think as we've sort of uncovered and we've heard from different guys and read different articles, it kind of makes it out to seem that Parise and Suter were sort of divas here, and more Parise than Suter. But, you know, I'm reading something Suhan wrote about Zach Parise wanting to practice in Minneapolis, and it was driving management nuts, and how Suter and Parise would have different side conversations, and you can look at the quotes that after the Vegas series, what they were saying, and it kind of became apparently clear that maybe these guys were on their own agenda. And I think ultimately you might as well get both of them out than just one of them, right? If Bill Guerin felt like these two guys were holding this team back from just cultural standpoint, just development, and not wanting to have guys in that locker room that necessarily might badmouth them or not be all in at this time, I think for Guerin, he looked at it as they were a tandem, and he had to, if he got rid of one, he had to get rid of both of them. And I think that's ultimately what it came down to. Everyone, if you talk to any hockey mind and they ask you, did Ryan Suter deserve to be bought out? I think a lot of them would say no. For Parise, yes, but Suter, no. And I think that's why it came down to something a little bit more than just hockey and his on-ice play. It came down to Guerin wanting to make his stamp and say, okay, this was the final touches. These guys represented the old Wild. We are no longer the old Wild. We are the Bill Guerin new Wild team. And I think until he got rid of those two guys, he did not feel like it was his team. And I think that's ultimately what we saw here. And just a vision of, these guys are the old regime. These guys might not be all in on this culture. We hear certain things that they're saying. We don't want that in a locker room. It's kind of like if you look at what happened with the Miami Marlins a couple years ago when Derek Jeter takes over. Derek Jeter cleared house. He wanted to bring in his guys. And you see that just with any sport, college football. College coach comes in, PJ Fleck comes in, he's going to bring in his assistants. He doesn't want anyone from the old regime. That represents losing, or that represents failure in that particular coach's mind. And I think for Bill Guerin, that's what it meant. Some of the interesting, I thought Suhan wrote a really good article. I'm not just saying that because he's my boss, but I think that he wrote a tremendous article on really diving into the language of what Bill Guerin was saying during his press conference, and never really complimenting on their leadership, never really complimenting on if they can help the team moving forward. It was just kind of like, we appreciate their effort. They gave it all they had. Those were the type of words that Guerin was saying. So Why Suter? I don't think it had anything to do with his play. I just think it had to do with everything that Parisi and Suter represented, and that was 9 years of not getting it done. And whether you want to blame those two or whether you want to blame on the supporting cast, that's how Guerin saw it, and he wanted to move forward, and I think that's why the decision was made. Okay, I wanted to end here with something on a little more positive side and just the memories, and I'm just going to just talk here. When this happened in 2012, the Wild were in a really crappy spot, I think for lack of a better word. And when these two guys came in and were signed, first of all, it was like a dream come true for Zach Parise. It was a dream come true for me as a fan. It was a dream come true for probably all of you guys out there that knew JP, that, you know, Zach Parise played at North Dakota. All these things, they ended up, Wild ended up passing him on the draft, and seeing Parise have so much success, and man, just, JP played for the North Stars. Him coming to the Wild was just so much more than just a signing. It represented that family. It represented a homegrown Minnesotan kid. And then Ryan Suter comes along, and he's an added bonus. Like, this was a monumental day in the NHL, and it represented a lot of happiness and excitement and joy. And I think a big thing that people forget, and a lot of, I think, individuals will talk about the failure in the postseason, but you have to remember during this whole time when Parise and Suter signed here and they were there for 9 years, the team that they just couldn't get over the hump was with the Chicago Blackhawks. And let's be honest, that was a dynasty. They won twice in 2013 and 2015. They were perennial Stanley Cup contenders. That is tough to have right in your division. That is tough to play either in the first or second round. And then you look at another team that the Wild struggle in the playoffs, the St. Louis Blues, who ended up winning in 2018. It felt like the Wild were right with those guys, and it just ultimately didn't work out. I don't necessarily blame Zach Parise and Ryan Suter for not getting them over the top. I think that in a lot of ways, the younger guys on these teams like Zucker and Granlund and Coyle and Niederreiter, those guys didn't blossom as I think Chuck Fletcher thought that those guys were going to blossom and be the sidekicks to those guys. Let's be honest. I mean, Zach Parise was never an Ovechkin or a Crosby or a Malkin or a guy that was going to score 40-plus goals. Zach Parise is a guy that's going to get you a lot of power play goals. He's going to work his tail off, show good character. And Ryan Suter is going to be a guy that's consistently a lock on your defensive side of the puck. He's not going to put in, you know, double-digit goals like Matt Dumba would do. I mean, that's just not how those guys were constructed. So a lot of this success, I thought, was predicated on how the younger guys were going to blossom. And they just never did. Granlund took a little bit more time than we thought. Niederreiter never panned out. Coyle never panned out into that big-time goal scorer. So as much as we want to sit here and blame those guys, it was a combined effort. It was Mike Yeo as well. It was Torchetti, Boudreau. Like, it's hard for me to look at these guys. And I know that they wanted to leave this state with a Stanley Cup. But you can't sit here and blame these two guys for not getting this team over the top. The contracts are abysmal. We understand that. But for me to sit here and blame Zach Parise and Ryan Suter on why this team didn't win a Stanley Cup, and I'm not going to have sour grapes. It was a sad day for me Tuesday. It was two guys that I grew up with. I mean, being in high school, those were my guys that really got me so hard into Minnesota Wild hockey. I also wanted to share a couple of stats with you, and then we'll get to Jeremy Rutherford. The first one, since signing Parise and Suter, the Wild went 354, 237, and 74 in the regular season. That was a .588 win percentage, which is the eighth best record in the NHL during that time. The regular season was never an issue for this team. Zach Parise is the franchise leader in power play goals. He ranks second in game-winning goals, shots on goal, and third in scoring and goals. Parise is also the franchise leader in scoring goals, power play goals, and assists in the postseason. The Wild, during this time, advanced to the Stanley Cup playoffs 8 times, so 8 of the 9 times. They only missed out once. Parise tallied 199 goals, 201 assists, and 400 points over 558 games in 9 seasons with the Wild. As far as Suter goes, he collected 369 points, 55 goals, 314 assists in 656 regular season games, and 17 points, that's 2 goals, 15 assists, in 42 Stanley Cup playoff matches with the Minnesota Wild. He's a franchise leader in scoring, assists, power play assists, plus minus rating, shots on goal, and time on ice amongst defensemen. And the biggest one that people will probably remember is the Wild during this tenure only won just 2 of 8 playoff series, and they had not won a round since 2015. And that ultimately is what sports is about. That's what we remember. That's what we want to harp on. And that's perfectly fair for some of you Wild fans that maybe want to look at this and say it was a complete failure. I will not look at it like that. I will look at it as excitement. I will look at it as rejuvenation. And as frustrating as it was deep in those playoffs, they lost to some pretty freaking good teams with Patrick Kane and Taves and Crawford and Quinville running the show. Those are some great teams that the Wild ended up losing to, just couldn't get over the hump. But I did not ever question those two guys' effort towards this franchise. So it stinks that this happened, but I think that the Wild are on to bigger and better things right now as Billy Guerin looks to really turn the table here. And if he can somehow find some playoff success, he will be probably called on to build a statue in front of the Xcel Energy Center if he can make something happen deep in this playoffs. But again, Zach Parise, Ryan Suter, you got fans, and I think a lot of us, as you move on and wherever you guys end up, I think you're going to have a fan in a lot of you Minnesotans, and I would say including myself and my father as well. So again, great job by Michael Russo, the best of the business. You would think that we're covering this with the amount of information that he was able to relay to the public. All right, Jeremy Rutherford, The Athletic, covers the St. Louis Blues, wanted to get an outside perspective. He joins us next here on the Strom Sports Show. You'll have everything you want to know outside of a perspective of Minnesota. Also, Vladimir Tarasenko, where is he going to end up? That's all coming up next here on the Strom Sports Show. All right, Jeremy Rutherford, he's with us now. He's a St. Louis Blues writer for The Athletic St. Louis, also just covers a league for The Athletic NHL, Blues Insider for 101 ESPN. Jeremy, Steven Strom here. Thank you very much for joining me today. How's everything going?
Yeah, real good, Steve. Good to be here.
Yeah, so I was talking to you before. I wanted to get a sort of outside perspective. I wanted to get a bipartisan feeling after you heard this buyout between Zach Parise and Ryan Suter. What was your, I guess, feeling, if you had described it in one word, just being outside of the state of Minnesota when you first saw this?
Yeah, I think with Parise, expected. I think with Suter, unexpected. And so, you know, Mike Russo has done such a terrific job covering that story for years now. And I think the buildup with Zach Parise just felt like something was going to happen. There's been so much talk about a trade the past couple of years and that not quite working out. And then Zach goes down to the fourth line, healthy scratch last year, and then steps into the playoffs and does a pretty good job. But I didn't think that was going to be enough to, you know, put him in the top six this season or anything like that. And I say that kiddingly. But I respect Zach as a player. I do think that he can help a team. I think he's got a ton of experience. You know, it may be on the fourth line. It may be as a healthy scratch some nights on a really good team, if that's what he chooses to play for. But everybody knows it's going to be on the cheap. And if you're talking less than $1 million for Zach Parise, then I don't see how you couldn't do that deal. With Suter, this comes, as Mike wrote in his story, unexpected to Ryan, unexpected to the rest of the league, I think, as well. Ryan's situation is he played top four, and I think he can still do that even at his age. And so, teams around the league, you know, have a pretty good top pair, pretty good top four. But I think Ryan can definitely come in if he wants to and help another team.
I think the assumption here and the biggest question with this buyout was why Ryan. Do you think that this was strictly just because you can't really defend the on the ice reasons for getting rid or buying out Suter? Do you think this was just sort of Billy Guerin wanting to put his stamp on this team? These were the last two guys that were on that original Wild team, with Fletcher. Why Suter in this case?
Well, I think, you know, without any true insight to the matter, you know, I'm not talking to Billy Guerin, but, you know, following Mike's coverage and just talking to people around the league, it looks like that's what, Billy wanted to do, is create that cap space, even though it's going to be a big
hit. It's going to be tough.
It's going to be really tough for years to come. It does give them a little more cap space. And I think the biggest thing is with the expansion draft coming up early next week, you know, potentially Minnesota could have lost somebody that they didn't want to lose. And now I think this helps them out. And then, you know, gives them some cap space. Look, they've got a couple big guys they've got to sign in Fiala and Kaprizov. And so, you know, maybe this helps them with that. But, I mean, everybody knew, I think, years and years ago, that this was going to be a tough last few years of these contracts for these guys. Did they think it would come this year? Both of them bought out in the same year? No, I don't think anybody could have predicted that. But I think you kind of expected that at some point they were going to have to pay the price. And now Billy, when he does the math, he just sits down and says, this is what's best for the organization at this point. Did I mention Jack Eichel in that?
That's what I think a lot of people assume when this first happens, like, oh, they're freeing up space to go get Eichel. And then you started to read the cap hits for not next year, but the next 3 years after that. And they are big. And it is something that Billy Guerin is going to have to work closely with his team on how they're going to get past that. I know there also is rumors swirling around that the Wild are going to make a trade offer for Eichel, but we'll have to wait and see what it looks like. We're here with Jeremy Rutherford, St. Louis Blues writer for The Athletic. You mentioned the expansion draft. I guess how much do you think the expansion draft played a role in this move?
Well, I think that you got to look at it from all different angles. That's the one thing, you know, I've found in covering the league for 20 years is what we see on the surface. You know, they have so much more information behind the scenes. And obviously Billy's got the intelligence, you know, the intel from the people he talks to of who Seattle is going to be interested in and his conversations with Ron Francis and who they might be going after and what it's going to take for Minnesota to steer Seattle away from maybe a player that they want to hold on to. And so I think there's a lot going on behind the scenes. So, you know, it's kind of not fair to kind of to speculate on that, but I think this situation here allows the Wild to proceed forward the way they want to with the team that Billy, as you said, wants to put his stamp on. And I thought it was interesting. I'm sure you saw Mike Russo's article in The Athletic, where he pointed out that the Winter Classic graphic, you know, didn't have a Ryan Suter or a Zach Parise on there. And, you know, that speaks to, I think, where the Wild are going. And, you know, you talked about getting the outside perspective on the Wild. You know, I can give you mine, is that this team's changing. Things are changing, and it's not always fun. It's difficult, you know, to trade Eric Staal, you know, when you know that he wants to be there and he's been a productive player for the Minnesota Wild. Look, Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, I remember when that those two signings happened, you know, everybody was like, the Wild, they're going for it. Like, this is the real thing. And so that didn't quite work out. And so now Billy comes in, and, yeah, he's got to be the bad guy making those phone calls to those two guys. But I can tell you from the outsider's perspective, you know, a couple years ago, I flip on the TV and Minnesota Wild games on. I'm probably not watching, but now I'm watching. I am. Like Kaprizov, every time he touches the puck, he's doing something. Fiala goes to Minnesota. He's been a good player. And so I think what Billy's doing is, you know, hard decision by hard decision, it's going to turn the team into one that's fun to watch, one that can score, one that's a lot different. So, you know, I know I veered off a little bit from your original question about the expansion draft, but I just think that whatever happens this weekend with the expansion draft, as far as Minnesota goes, it's not going to have a huge impact, I don't think, on the stamp that they're trying to put on that team right now.
I would agree with you. And I think sometimes the hardest decisions sometimes are the best ones or the right one for Bill Guerin in this move with Ryan Suter and Zach Parise. I wanted to revisit what you were talking about on July 4th, 2012, when these two signed with the Minnesota Wild. And I think it did change the feel. It changed the landscape. And the Wild were in sort of a weird spot before that. They weren't exciting. They weren't really, like, when Parise and Suter came here, they became like the state of hockey. Like all of the cliches, it all started to come forward. My question to you, because I think a lot of people will look back at this signing and be like, oh, it was a terrible signing, 13 years, $98 million. I'm not arguing the financials of it, because we knew, like you alluded to, that eventually it was going to come back to bite the Wild in the butt. But how much does Suter and Parise deserve more of the blame than maybe the younger guys at the time that I'm assuming Fletcher thought, like Granlund, Zucker, Nino, they didn't quite develop when they needed to. Like, if there was a pie chart, I guess, of how much to blame as far as why the Wild couldn't get past the Hawks or couldn't get past the Blues, you know, where would they fall?
Well, I think you just touched on all the aspects. You know, I know in terms of doing a pie chart and you know, how do you divide up the blame? You know, I'm not trying to take the easy way out here, but, you know, I don't know really how you can put a lot of
blame. Two guys, right?
Yeah, you can't put a lot of blame on these individuals. Okay, so let's break it down here for a second. You know, you didn't have the state of hockey truly. Like, you didn't have Minnesota Wild hockey that was going to compete. as I said, when you get Parisi and Suter, it opened everybody's eyes to Craig Leopold is going to spend money. He's going to make this team the best it can be. And they've got a lot of good young players that are going to come up and surround Parisi and Suter. And this is going to be a fun team to watch. Okay, further breaking it down. If you're Parisi and Suter, you're not turning down those deals. You both want to go to Minnesota. You both want the astronomical deals. And they took them. And, you know, they played hard. Zach was banged up and, you know, Suter had some injuries towards the end. But I think that, you know, they, as far as I could see anyway, you could steer me straight here is, you know, they gave it what they could. Mm-hmm. So now you look at the situation and you say, oh my gosh, you're going to be in some sort of cap hell with these salaries that they have to pay, you know, these guys for the next couple of years in terms of against the cap. And I think that you say, do we regret that? Are we better off if we didn't sign Parisi and Suter? Well, yeah, that's fine in hindsight, because it's going to be tough moving forward. But, you know, they got the franchise back on the map. When Craig Leopold spent that money, it told other free agents around the league and other hockey people around the league that this is a destination. And, you know, it's hard to win in hockey. So just because you don't win a cup 2 or 3 or 4 years after you bring Suter and Parisi, you know, to Minnesota, I don't think that that means it was a bad move. So everybody's going to look at the math, Steven, and say, you know, this is going to be tough. Maybe they shouldn't have done it. They could have got by without these guys. And I guess, you know, you could be right, but I guess I just want to say that it brought relevance to everything. And now they're still going to be a good team. Look, Billy right. and his group is going to find a way to make it work with the bad math.
And it wasn't for a lack of trying either, Jeremy. I mean, Chuck Fletcher went out and he would constantly make moves at the deadline, some good, some not so good, you know, trading for Jason Pominville, trading for Martin Hansel and Ryan White when they actually ended up losing to the Blues. Jake Allen went bonkers. But it wasn't for a lack of trying, you know, like the GMs during the tenure, they went out and they tried to fortify that lineup and try to get it to a Stanley Cup contender. I mean, they did not. This was not for a lack of trying. It's just sometimes, you know, you got to also look at who was in that playoff run. I mean, the Hawks ended up winning 2 Stanley Cups between when Suter got there and then one before that. And you know, the Blues end up winning in 2018. So, you know, like you said, it's very difficult to win a Stanley Cup, and it was not for a lack of trying. So for the people, the fans out there that are saying, oh, we regret, I do not think that the Wild should regret anything as far as bringing in Suter and Parisi go. I think it changed the whole vibe of the spot. 2 more left with you, Jeremy. I appreciate you carving out time for me today. Do you think that it bothered Bill Guerin that when Parisi jumped into the lineup against the Vegas series, he ended up scoring a couple goals, getting a couple assists? What was going through Billy G's mind if you were in his shoes?
Yeah, I don't think it bothered him. I mean, you know, I don't know, you know, the exact nature of their relationship, but, you know, I think that Billy likes to see guys succeed. He realizes that the coaching staff and management have to make the tough decisions. You know, they, as we talked about, they made a decision to sit Zach, to, you know, lessen his minutes, to play the fourth line. And as a true pro would do, you know, he stepped in there and continued to play hard and played well. Like I said, put up a couple points in that series. So if you're Bill, you know, you like to see that when players get pushed and then respond. And that's the thing is, you know, you can talk about Bill and Zach, or you can talk about the tough phone calls that he made with the buyouts, but it, you know, following the Blues for the past 20 years up closely, it's what decisions management makes in tough circumstances that the rest of the franchise sees, the other players see, the top 6 sees how you handle a Vladimir Tarasenko situation.
Right.
I think how the defense sees you handle the star defenseman who really can't play anymore. And so when you make those tough decisions and people watch how you handle it, they respect it. And I think it can do nothing but good for the organization moving forward. And that's just how it goes. Look, there were people the past couple of years, I'm sure that saw that Zach wasn't, you know, contributing the way that probably, you know, the money dictated, the money showed he could and you know, the name and things like that. And eventually it got to a point where the Wild had to do something. And I think the players that see that, you might not hear the comments, you might not hear the interviews publicly, but there's a ton of respect that's built for the organization when that stuff goes down.
All right, last one for you, Jeremy. We'll go to your St. Louis Blues. What's the latest on Vladimir Tarasenko? 29 years old. I think 3 shoulder operations since 2018. Give us the update on where everything's at as far as Vladimir Tarasenko's future is with the Blues.
Yeah, Steven, tough situation. 29, 3 shoulder surgeries in 28 months. You know, not the goal scorer that he once was, scored 40 once a few years ago. But, you know, he believes that he can come back and be that type of player. So I think the Blues are going to have a tough time trading him. You know, you can use the cliche damaged goods, and he makes $7.5 million for each of the next 2 years. So I do know that the Blues are exploring. They're talking to teams. They're trying to figure out whether to protect him or not. And probably we'll have some sort of end game here on Tarasenko before the season starts. And I don't expect him to be with the Blues organization.
Jeremy Rutherford, everyone, thank you very much for carving out some time for me today. I know you're a busy man. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at JP Rutherford. Does a fantastic job, not only covering the St. Louis Blues, but has some really solid hockey articles as well. Thank you again for carving out time for me today, and have a great weekend, Jeremy.
Yep, Steven. Thanks, buddy.
JP Rutherford, everyone, on Twitter. Make sure to follow him as well. He does, again, really great stuff if you're looking to not only get your Wild fix, but also just your hockey fix in general. Thanks, everyone, for listening. I really do appreciate it, as always. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on TalkNorth.com. We've got a bunch of shows, bunch of sports shows, bunch of outdoor shows. We've got a good couple of guests coming up for you in the following weeks. We're getting close here to training camp in the NFL, so we might slide in some NFL players on the pod. And as always, have a great weekend, and I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.